Dr. Paul Pettit is batting cleanup today. This is our last chapel of the summer. He serves as Director of Career Services and teaches in the departments of Pastoral Ministries, Educational Leadership and Ministries, and Media Arts and Worship. Paul's background includes experience as a sportscaster, author, and speaker. He and Pamela have 5 children and 1 grandchild who just celebrated her first birthday. Paul was telling me a little earlier, hang on, Paul, that at her first birthday, she just put both of her hands right in the cake. That's cool. Paul holds degrees from the University of Kansas, Moody Bible Institutes, Advanced Studies Program, Dallas Theological Seminaries, Master of Theology, and the Doctor of Ministry degree, also from Dallas Seminary. He enjoys developing emerging leaders, golf, and barbecue. He's going out for barbecue today, as a matter of fact. Thus, I had to coach him up a little bit on the difference in pork and beef barbecue. Would you please join me in welcoming Dr. Paul Pettit to our chapel today?
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Good morning. What an honor to get to share just for a few minutes here at our last chapel. And I have a schedule here that you can see all the different speakers we've had. Hasn't this been a great summer? Let's thank Jim Hoover, Stephen Joyner, the whole team back there, Ryan and Patrick and Chaplain Joe. All these folks that, you can't have chapel with all these people that help. And I don't know if this is like an order of importance or order of an effectiveness or what, you know, but I tend to think, I've not lost on reminding myself that in the coming kingdom, in the future, the last shall be first. Amen? Well, this isn't the coming kingdom yet, so let's get started. I'll never forget commencement spring of 2019. My boss, Greg Hatterberg, yelled down the hall, "Pettit!" And whenever he yells that out, I know something really interesting is going to happen. He says, "I need you to be the marshal at this year's commencement." I said, "What's that?" He had to go to Israel. He had to miss commencement. He said, "Oh, it's no problem. You just lead the graduates in and then you lead them out. How hard can it be?" And that's what I thought. I said, "Yeah, I mean, how hard can it be?" But have you ever been to Preston World? Have you ever been to the Prestodome? It's so big. Look at this place. It is full of seats and lights and screens. And I got into the Prestodome and I took my eyes off of Jim Timms. See, what happened was Jim Timms told me, "Follow me. Imitate me." Josh Wynn was there to help. Look at they, not that they don't do a lot of work behind the scenes. Look at all this that they go through ahead of time. It would have helped if I would have been invited to the practice, but regardless of that, look at all this. They have diagrams, they have set up for you, they tell you where to stand, you know, but they say, "You'll start in the back, but you'll go to the front. The right side is really the left side." I mean, look how much detail they have here. They said, "Paul, you'll have E and D. Jim, you'll have C, B, and A." You see how it starts to get confusing. And I had half the graduating class behind me. And I'm walking in, they're teaching me, and I got sidetracked by the distractions. All the people, all the cameras, the smiles on the faces of all the graduates. Look how much detail they tell you where to go. But what I did was I loaded my graduates into the wrong pews. Yes, I'll admit it. I loaded up my graduates a little bit wrong. But Jim Timms took me to the side. He said, "Don't worry. When I get out in the hall, I'll unravel everything you did and no one will notice." Because Jim Timms has done about 50 of these. And he told me, he warned me, he said, "Just keep your eyes on me. Do what I do. Follow me." And that's our question for this brief moment of devotional. Who are you imitating? Who do you have your eyes on? Who do you want to be like? Maybe some political leader that you've fallen in infatuation with. Maybe some religious leader, some evangelical leader. And you want to be like them. You want to imitate them. You want to do what they do. We're going to ask and answer this question. What happens when you imitate someone, when you want to be like them? What transpires? Let's read this out together. We don't even have time to turn to it. Let's all say this together. Philippians 3:17. join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Wow. The Apostle Paul, is he some kind of egomaniac? He says, imitate me. Follow me. Do you tell that to the people you're working with? Do you say, you know, just live as I do. Follow me. Wow. Look at all the websites I look at. Watch all the shows and read all the books I do. Go to the places I go to. Just, if you want to be closer to Jesus Christ, do what I do. Imitate me. Now, was Paul some kind of egomaniac? No. Because we know earlier in verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained it. So he doesn't say, I'm perfect, but he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me. The word is mimetes. Mimetes. Interesting word. It means one who acts like or emulates or imitates, who does those same things that someone else does. And it's used 7 times in the New Testament, all positive examples. Be like God. Be like Christ. But this one adds an interesting prefix. I got this from my grammarian friend, Dan Pfeiffer. He says it has the soon prefix, which means join with me. Let's do this together. Let's do this in community. Let's all become more like Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. You see, one of the dangers in evangelicalism today is this isolated individualism. This just me and my Jesus, me and my Bible. And all through the New Testament, we're taught join together with others in becoming more like Christ. Sue mimetes, an imitator with others. Very interesting word. Now, what are we supposed to do? If we're to imitate Paul, what's Paul's big imperative for us? What's he telling us to do? Let's read this one together out loud as well. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. That's what he says to do. Stand firm in the Lord. In these tough times you're going through, in these academic struggles you're going through, financial struggles. I had someone say, today's the day to pay tuition. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to pay tuition. Stand firm in the Lord. That's the key. Not standing firm in our own strength, standing firm in our own education, standing firm, what? In the Lord. Now, my friend Brian Bittaker, he's serving in the spiritual formation program, and he had his vacation out in Las Vegas, and he said, the first of the week it was fun, all the beautiful swimming pools, all the beautiful stores, all the wonderful shows, but by the end of the week he said it was kind of sad. You know, the whole vibe in Las Vegas is just money and pleasure and good times. It's just a big party. But he said, by the end of the week I began to wonder, you know, what's happening here in Las Vegas that's really going to last? And he found this picture he took with his cell phone. It's an interesting juxtaposition, isn't it? A huge multi-million dollar casino in the background. And then he noticed this church right in front. And he saw the dichotomy between the two. Maybe those pleasures and those earthly joys that are temporary, but that work we do for Jesus Christ, that life we live for Jesus Christ that's going to last. How long? Forever. Who are you imitating? Have you got caught up in imitating someone here on earth that's an earthly leader or a part-time, not long-term leader? Are you and I, are we following someone who's following hard after Jesus Christ? Now, here's an interesting story I want to close with. There was, in England, a case of mistaken identity. A wildlife photographer has captured some remarkable pictures of a deer sitting in the British countryside alongside a herd of cows, and this deer is convinced that it's one of them. Look at that picture. 54-year-old Andrew Peters captured these images after the deer was, quote, adopted by the herd several months ago. The deer has regularly been seen grazing alongside with the other cows after it became separated from its own herd of deer. This particular male has, for some strange reason, adopted these cows as his herd and stays with them almost every day, grazing, lying down. He's acting rather like a cow himself instead of a deer. This type of deer behavior has never been observed or captured before, and it's really a Shropshire wonder, the reporter said. You certainly never see a deer that thinks it's a cow. It's like the deer is copying the cows. And the images were captured after Peter spent several hours at the Shropshire field. Peter said he had been told about it by a friend for several months. And a neighbor has been telling me for months about this, Peter's added. He said, this deer has been hanging out with a herd of cows, and you just have to go see it. You have to go see it. And one day he rang me, and he said, the deer is there right now. And he says, I drove straight to the farmer's field, and I spent several hours there with a long lens. The cows were in another field before, and the deer was with them then too. He says, it's just bonkers. Well, what about you and I? Are we sometimes a deer who thinks we're a cow? Are we like the earthlings Paul mentions in 18? Many walk, who I have often told you about, weeping. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetites. Their glory is in their shame, and they set their mind on earthly things. And then he says, don't be like that. For our citizenship is where? That was weak, people. Our citizenship is where?
In heaven.
Our citizenship is in heaven. Stand firm. Don't live solely like your citizenship is here on earth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. Who are you imitating? Who are you trying to be like? Is it a person who's focused on earthly things, or is it a person who's focused on heavenly things? What happens when you imitate someone? The secret is you become like them. We ran up to Springdale, Arkansas, just to see our good friends, Josh and Jen Brown. And Josh was our admin assistant for many years in the spiritual formation department. And Josh has had some health challenges through the years, and now he's struggling with a brain tumor. And Josh can no longer really speak very well. He can't walk very well, and they've called in hospice. So we drove 5 hours, and we spent an hour with Josh and Jen and prayed with them. And then we drove back 5 hours. Because that's when you do, when you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you want to stand with someone. And as we shared with Josh, we just realized that it may not be long. Hopefully it'll be a long time, but it may not be long, and he'll see Jesus face to face. He's standing firm in his hope in the Lord. Jen, his wife, is standing firm in her hope in the Lord. Are you standing firm? Now, when I walked into that sanctuary at Prestonwood, I got distracted. I took my eyes off of Jim Timms. He said, keep your eyes on me, imitate me. But I started seeing all the bright lights and the big screens and the stage. And I thought, man, I got half of the graduating class behind me. And I should have focused on which pew I was loading them into. I got away from my mission. And I wonder about you. Some of you have come into this room this morning and you've walked into a sanctuary of success. Things are going pretty well for you. Someone has asked you, you know, you should take your sermons and put them on the internet. You should write a book. You should plant a big megachurch. You know, I think you could be the next evangelical superstar. Wow. Stand firm in your success. Stand firm in the attendance numbers. Stand firm in your offerings. Stand firm in your degree. Stand firm in your GPA. Stand firm in the Lord. But some of you this morning, you've walked into a sanctuary of suffering, and you're going through some hard times. Tuition's due. Maybe your car broke down. Maybe you have some health issues. And you too sometimes get distracted. Should you trust in your medical doctors? Should you trust in your 401k? Should you trust in your retirement? Should you trust in your pension? No, those things are all important, but stand firm what? Stand firm in your pension? Stand firm in your insurance policy? Stand firm in your future plans? No. Stand firm what?
In the Lord.
Stand firm what?
In the Lord.
Stand firm who? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for all of my friends in this room that we would stand firm together in the Lord. Not in our successes, not in our failures, not even in our hopes and not in our dreams. Standing firm in you. Because one day we'll see you face to face.